Second case of the morning, we Dargis versus Michael Sheehan. Mr. Makesem.
Good morning. Walter Makesem on behalf of the appellant, Sergeant Litorius Dargis. Your Honor, this appeal is here. After a summary judgment was entered on several counts for my client and several counts against my client, but relief on the counts granted were not substantive. The court below, in a case that did not involve any disciplinary procedure, my client had an impeccable record, suffered a stroke on the job at the Cook County Jail. He had been an instructor. He had...
the issue, I think, was only was he a person with disability was capable of performing the job.
That, of course, is an issue. And
that is the issue.
Well, there are other issues, Your Honor, but that issue, I believe the court jumped into applying Miller to a case that was factually not under Miller. The record, I believe, shows that my client, when he was in the supervisory capacity, had other people that, for whatever influence the powers that be had, were excluded from inmate contact, and that my client was told by a co-equal, one of the directors, Sergeant or Director Maul, that he could come back, have his job, and have it without contact. Sergeant Maul retired, and Director Maul retired, Assistant Director Maul, and Assistant Director Lyles, when my client appeared, refused to interact with him and simply told him to go home. There was never any interaction. And under Part 2 of the ADA, the second element, the court determined that that was that we had not satisfied that.
Well, let me go back for a minute, because you're saying that he had to perform these various duties, but wasn't there also a requirement that a correctional officer must be able to respond to emergencies?
That was on paper, but not done in practice. In practice, my client had been an instructor at the gunnery school in
Georgia. The issue may not come up very often.
Well, that may be the case, but as I say, in terms of application, in terms of practice,
but the paper said an officer had to be able to respond to an emergency, and your client was not able to do that.
That is correct. However, as I say, there were jobs available that he was qualified to handle. He had set up the computer room at the jail, which obviously inmates can't get into to access their records and control.
All I'm saying is I understand you're saying that there are other jobs. I'm saying a second reason, a different reason that it has is that if it's a requirement that you have to be able to respond to emergencies, he couldn't do that in any event, even if there were some other jobs
doctor's directions. If it involved direct inmate contact, he could not do that. But as I indicate, that was, from a factual and logical point of view, not a situation which was totally applicable here, and Miller shouldn't have been applied because my client had been out at Moraine Valley College. He had instructed out there, which is miles away from the Cook County Jail. He had been out at the Joliet Range, where he had been an FBI-certified weapons instructor. There are various areas of the department where it's required that there be no interaction with inmates because of security. And he was in a position where, as his affidavits show, he actually was instructed for people who had heart attack problems and stroke problems to assure that other employees, because they had some sort of sanction from above, would be insulated from inmate contact, have no inmate contact, and my client, and part of his job was to promote and protect them against inmate contact. When it came to him, because he was, and I say this in a general way, he was a career officer, not political in nature. When it came to the day when his job was, when he was gone, he came back, he was not given what was a practical application of the exclusion or a dispensation from having to have inmate contact.
Let me just ask you, just as a side, is he still receiving his disability pension?
It's expired, and he, in order to receive health benefits, which have run out, everything has run out, he went in and took involuntarily resigned in order to get certain benefits and access his in a constructive discharge, forced retirement situation. He wrote a letter, came in, but accessed that in order to have his family survive economically.
Now, this is a disability retirement sort of thing, combination?
Right. He had been on temporary disability, and then he converted that to a...
And when you say everything is expired...
Everything's expired. Well, he's now filing bankruptcy, I believe, at this moment.
Well, you're saying that when he took a disability retirement, the disability... whatever benefit has expired also?
Yes.
He's getting nothing then?
He has gotten nothing. In effect, the litigation in the district court took about almost 4 years. It took 1 year for the district judge to decide this motion for summary judgment. We're now passing the six-year mark, and which leads to the second issue, which
is... What about the appeal from the Merit Board?
The Merit Board, it was really interesting because the sheriff filed charges saying because of this situation he had abandoned his job, and they filed 4 or 5 years later a petition to discharge him for that. The district, I argued that, we had a full hearing. The Merit Board concluded it didn't have jurisdiction because he had resigned. As you see in my brief, and I've argued all along and covered the basis in terms of letters and so on, he was forced, as one of the opinions I cite, he was forced to take this as a constructive discharge retirement to access his whatever he had left available. And now the sheriff argues that somehow is a resignation. But that case is still pending in the district. There's no final order. That is still pending in the circuit court as far as the Merit Board. But the Merit Board doesn't give damages. The Merit Board doesn't give back pay when you're being charged with supposedly abandonment. No charges were ever brought until the district court, once finding and litigating, completing the fact that he was still employed, said that his status should be determined by the Merit Board because he never had a hearing.
Look,
But he was employed. His status was determined.
This is a very sympathetic case. This man had an excellent record. He'd gone advanced far. He had a stroke. But when he comes back with the doctor says, this is sort of a summary, he's engaged in no physical activity beyond sitting in a chair accompanied by brief periods of standing or walking.
That's correct. He says
that they should refrain from lifting, kneeling, stooping, and running. And then, of course, should have no physical contact with the general inmate population out of concern that a blow to Darge's head could result in blindness. Now, that's what, when you talk about interaction, when the supervisor or decision maker, I guess, is handed that, how do you interact? You're supposed to say, well, gee, maybe we can do something. I think you used a word, I should have written it down, where you talked about something, if from a practical standpoint, the higher-ups or somebody, they could have done something.
Dispensation.
Yeah, something. That wasn't the word, but whatever
almost
it was. Something like that, though.
Yes.
Where you'd almost have to make an exceptional situation here. Let's do whatever we can to let him at least reach an age of retirement or something.
He had a couple of years to go.
That's what I thought. And so if he had gotten that other 2 years in, if they were nice guys, they would have figured something out. But we don't have that before us. We have the ADA.
But we also have the due process issue, which is separate and distinct. And there are also all these state claims with constructive discharge, et cetera.
So is there more to the due process than that the judge ordered to go back to the Merit Board?
It's a little bit of a sticky wicket. When you get to the issue under the second point of the ADA and is interactive process, because under the interactive process, what he was done is he was brushed off, summarily told to go home. Now, even in this situation, I submit that his supervisor, when he went in and he was told to come back to work, wear his dress whites by another director, two directors, Maul and Lyles, both equal directors, told to come back, report for duty, we'll get you a job. Comes back, someone else at the co-equal point tells him to go home to your family.
After getting the
puts
doctor.
Him on a zero pay status, which in effect keeps him employed, takes away, deprives him of his livelihood. And then
when he gets on that zero pay status, he gets no hearing.
He gets no hearing. He never had a hearing. Right. He never had an interactive situation. At least he should have been able to say, I set up the computer room at the jail. There's no one there working. You can't have access with prisoners. I trained, and which he said, he tried to talk. He tried to interact. He tried to say, these things are available. Go home. And he was basically escorted out. So this is what's tricky, is the sheriff's office, through the state's attorney, argues, well, he didn't establish point two. Well, he was never given the opportunity, which is comprehended under the ADA, to be able to establish that. And I submit that all of these facts which I presented are not clear-cut. A jury could take all of this into account, and as I believe some of the cases I've cited, could see this not as a clear-cut situation. It is something, I believe, that has mixed questions of fact all into it that the district court tried to unravel, but in so doing, she basically, district court sent the case back for determination on status after deciding his status. He's employed. And then, as I cite in some of my in the recent cases from this court, did not give him a hearing on the damages. He'd been out of work several years. If we talk about ripening due process, here's a man with children, disabled child, he's on a stroke, has a stroke, out of work, and he is deprived zero pay status. The court found that the zero pay status was illegal, violated his due process. There was no basis for it, and then wouldn't hold a hearing. And that's part of my motion to reconsider. I said, Judge, we've won two counts, and there's no complete remedy here. Mm-hmm. And all you've done is sent us back for an administrative hearing. There's no damages there. There's no attorney.
And did you point out to her that at this merit board that he couldn't get pay? He couldn't get back pay? I mean, when you came back after she entered the order, didn't give any damages.
No, the merit board was heard almost a year after the decision.
Oh, I understand. But I'm saying when she made that determination and said, you know, I found there's violations, I'm going to send it to the merit board so they can, like, shake out his status. Was it pointed out to her after she made that ruling that he couldn't get that kind of relief from the merit board, that is the back pay and monetary damages?
Well, also 1988 fees. Right. But I think what I did is I raised that these are items that are recoverable under a due process 1983 claim, and the court had not given us an opportunity to prove up those damages. And we can't take that. Once that's decided, which the court did, it was an incomplete summary judgment.
You're into your rebuttal, you know.
Okay. Well, then I will pass the counsel, and I thank you. I'll be back.
Well, I'm going to ask you to pronounce your name for me.
Pavlina Kochinkovska. On behalf of defendants, may it please the court.
Thank you.
You pronounce it now.
No.
It was a test case.
Plaintiff appeals from judgment in his favor on his due process claims. But in light of its finding that zero pay status was indeed a deprivation of a protected property interest, the district court remedied the due process violations that the plaintiff complained of when it directed the defendants to conduct a hearing on the plaintiff's employment status.
Well, first of all, why wasn't he provided a hearing before he was put into zero pay status? Wasn't he entitled to a hearing?
He was entitled to a post-deprivation hearing. The issue in this case was the fact that the sheriff's office did not believe that there had been a deprivation in this case.
I understand, but you've answered my question. He was entitled to a post-deprivation hearing.
Absolutely.
And he was not given one. Then the next question is, does the State Merits Board have the authority to award back pay to employees?
Yes, it does, and it does routinely do that. Where the charges are unfounded and the sheriff has not met his burden in proving the charges, an employee is not only reinstated but awarded back pay for the time that he was off of work.
But the merits board here dismissed his case.
Well, Your Honor, the merit board in this case declined to reach the merits.
Right.
Because what had occurred is that the plaintiff chose to resign his position in order to receive his disability pension.
Right, but as he's explained, it was really a forced resignation. The bottom line is, if we don't remand Dargis will go without a damages remedy for the Department of Corrections procedural due process violations. Isn't that true?
No, Your Honor.
So what other alternative? In other words, we got to have a district court judge found there was a procedural due process violation, send it back to the merits board. They don't get to the merits. So when does he get compensated for the due process violation?
Your Honor, we believe that the remedy for the violation of due process in this case would be to give him the due process hearing. He was given ample opportunity to be heard before the merit board, and he chose to resign his position prior to the hearing. The district court was unaware that he had done so at the time that it issued its opinion in March of 05. He had resigned in August of 04 without their knowledge.
So then do you object to the district court finding or determining how much his back pay is? Or you would rather that take place in the merits board? You wouldn't object?
We wouldn't object to that taking place before the merit board. We believe that the appropriate remedy in this case where a due process violation is alleged would be to give him that due process hearing.
And now you have a finding by a federal court. So would that be res judicata for the merit board? In other words, he can take this ruling of the district court saying there were procedural due process violations. Merit board gets to the merits of the case. We've already got a finding by a federal court. So then it would just be a matter of his damages. Would there be res judicata? Would there be recognition of this decision?
Your Honor, I believe what the issue here was that the sheriff's office initially did not believe that there had been a deprivation because there was no dispute.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm just saying you've got a finding by a federal court. You're saying the merit board would not be bound by that finding. The federal court has found there was a violation, a due process violation. So
right.
Then the only thing left is he entitled to damages?
Well, it would be a hearing on the merits and the substantive charges that were brought by the sheriff before the merit board. And so that due process hearing would proceed as it normally would for any corrections officer facing possible termination.
With no guarantee of a result.
Right.
You're talking about if it's not a foregone conclusion that he's going to get damages. What he's going to get is process.
Absolutely.
And then they will make that merit board or whatever, whoever it's before, will then make a decision about back pay and whatever other deprivations
Absolutely.
May have occurred.
And we feel that that is an appropriate remedy where a due process violation is alleged to give the plaintiff his due process hearing, however it plays out, the same way that it would for any corrections officer facing termination.
Does he have any chance in going back there? Let's just say this had happened perhaps when it should have, when he was I don't know what you call it, when you are not fired but you don't get paid for a long period of time. I assume he was in the hospital for a while and other things, right?
I don't know that that's the case. I know that he was receiving short-term disability benefits. Being on zero pay status means that he's not reporting to work, he's not receiving a salary, but he is receiving insurance benefits,
okay.
And he was receiving short-term disability benefits.
And what's short-term?
I'm not certain what.
Well, not either. And the only point is that there's at some point he should have been given whatever process is due to make his case about, he has all these abilities. I could have done this, that, or the other thing without having a special job created. I wouldn't have, could have gotten back pay or should have been reinstated, et cetera. All kinds of things that one could argue. He says at some point he was forced to take disability, which I guess is just another period of time when he's going to get some compensation, which apparently now has run out. I don't really understand it all. But there was no hearing, and now the district court said you were denied due process. Now you've got to send this back and within 30 days, have a hearing. Well, unbeknownst to her, that he had already resigned or something. And then the board determines, well, he's resigned, therefore we don't have to have a hearing. Now, apparently something is still going, and I guess what do we do from here to make sure that he gets this process? I don't know if we can guarantee any damages or not, but at least to make sure he has every opportunity to make his case.
Your Honor, we agree. We believe that he does have ample opportunity to be heard in that he still has the opportunity to be heard. That case
without us doing anything. If we don't enter any order accept or affirm, he still has an opportunity to go and get
it? Absolutely. The case is still pending before the Circuit Court of Cook County Chancery Division. In fact, we're scheduled to appear before the judge on November 27th. That case is still pending, and so he's been given his due process. He's been given his day to be heard.
What about the issues that were not dealt with? Weren't there some dismissed without prejudice? Some other claims? I don't remember. I don't want to mix it up with another case, but he had a lot of claims. Did the court not rule on some things that were strictly state claims?
Well, once the federal issues were resolved, they declined to exercise pendant jurisdiction.
Court did?
Yes.
What happened to those claims?
They were dismissed without prejudice.
Yeah. So were they filed again in state court?
They have not been, no.
Is that still an opportunity? Or is that expired?
I'm not certain of what those time limits might be. Your Honor, I do know that they haven't been filed in state court by counsel.
And what exactly is the state court case pending? What exactly?
It is a petition for administrative review from the Merit Board's decision.
So it's a review of the Merit Board decision, which never got to the merits,
exactly.
Which is only because the Merit Board rejected it because he had voluntarily terminated his employment, correct?
Yes.
So if this is a petition to rehear that, the circuit court will probably reject. I mean, I know we cannot predict what the circuit court will do, but the only review the circuit court is giving is whether or not the Merit Board decision was correct, right?
They are deciding whether or not their decision to decline reaching
right.
the merits was appropriate, whether
exactly.
they're declining to take the jurisdiction, subject matter jurisdiction over the case was appropriate. And so what the court could do, and as Your Honor indicates, we can't predict what they might do, they could remand the case to the Merit Board for a hearing on the merits or for a reconsideration on the merits. And so once again, plaintiff is getting his due process. And we believe that the district court did not err in directing a due process hearing where the alleged violation was a lack of opportunity to be heard. Further,
yeah,
we don't believe...
But see, he's being heard now because he didn't get his hearing. He will be heard after everything has run out and he was forced to resign. I mean, you know, he was in kind of a catch-22. Here he was. If he had not tried to get his permanent disability benefits, his family would have been total, I mean, he would have had nothing, right? Because if he had just kept on his status, if he kept his status, not resigned, zero coming in, he goes before the Merit Board, that's when the Merit Board would have dealt with the merits of the case, right? But because he stopped the bleeding, he resigned, and therefore he never gets an opportunity. Well, anyway, at least I understand what's pending before the state court. It's just the review of the Merit Board's determination.
Yes, and that, as I indicated, can be remanded for a
right.
hearing on the
And
court.
I assume your defense will still be, when you get to the state court, that he permanently resigned, therefore he's not entitled to a remand.
Your Honor, that is our position at that
right.
point. But
so there's not going to be any change of heart by your agency when we get back to that review, right? I mean, the man is, like, in bankruptcy, so there's not going to be any compromise, no settlement or anything. So your position is still going to be he resigned, and so therefore he's not entitled to anything.
That is our position. However,
right.
the court, of course, may disagree with that position.
Right, but I'm saying there's not going to be any change in your position.
It will
on
not
that,
be, no.
right.
But I would like to address one
point. Even in light of the fact that the district court here found there was a due process violation.
Well, there was what the court found was that there was a deprivation of a property interest in continued employment.
Right.
And because the sheriff had disagreed with that because the sheriff didn't believe that his employment had been terminated because no action had been taken, once there was a finding by the court that there had been a deprivation, the next step was to show that there was a deprivation without a notice and an opportunity to be heard. The sheriff never disputed that any corrections officer does have a right to be heard. And once the court found that there had been a deprivation, there is no issue with giving the plaintiff his opportunity to be heard. One point that I would like to quickly address is that we don't believe that he was coerced into resigning, that employee resignations are indeed presumed to be voluntary, and the standard for coercion isn't easily satisfied. because the decision here was between two difficult alternatives doesn't mean that that choice was coerced. He never requested appointment to any other position. He insisted on being returned to the position of corrections officer.
What other position could he have requested?
Other positions within the jail compound, as a cook, for example, or a multitude of other positions, but he never
something
did
that. Something that he didn't have any particular training or skill or...
Well, even as a cook, wouldn't he have be stuck with the emergency problem in case of emergency he's supposed to leave through? Don't cooks take a whack at people who are escaping or something?
Well, Your Honor, that brings us to the ADA issue and his... the fact that he's not a qualified individual.
Well, which is why the sheriff, the whoever was responsible for it, decided not to rehire him because he couldn't meet the standard.
Yeah, so.
Your Honor, we believe that similar to the facts in Miller, that the plaintiff in this case had no interest in prison jobs that weren't occupied by a corrections officer, but instead wanted to come back on his own terms.
How could you discern that when he was never given a hearing and he was just put on zero pay status? He requested a hearing and didn't get one.
I don't believe he requested.
There was no request for a hearing. I mean, so there was no. But so you're saying after he got zero pay status, there was no request for a hearing.
He wanted a hearing to come back as a correction officer.
Right.
Not a hearing. No, he never requested a hearing to come back as a corrections officer. He insisted, despite his restrictions,
that he could
come back and perform the job of corrections officer if he was assigned to a handful of very specific assignments. And the sheriff said there is no position that could guarantee no inmate contact, as the holding in Miller states.
But you just told Judge Bauer there were positions.
Non-correctional officer positions, Your Honor.
Not the job he applied for or was holding.
Exactly. He insisted on coming back under his own terms in the handful of positions that he enumerated. But none of those positions can guarantee no inmate contact. First of all, rotations are required within the sheriff's office.
I read the briefs.
Thank you, Your Honor. I see I'm nearing
You've got a couple minutes. Finish up. You've got time.
We believe the facts of this case under the ADA issue are very similar to Miller, and that the holding in Miller does indeed apply. He did not put the sheriff's office on notice to search out any non-corrections officer positions where he insisted on coming back on his own terms in the handful of positions that he enumerated, which he felt should guarantee no inmate contact, and that's just not the case. We believe that the U.S. District Court did properly grant summary judgment, and that their holding should be affirmed. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Maxson, you've got 2 minutes.
Administrative review doesn't involve a jury. It's really in the nature of almost an appellate proceeding, only on the record before the merit board. The merit board action was not brought by my client. It was brought by the sheriff's office to try to discharge him, alleging he abandoned his post. And in doing that, they did not, the district judge said, give him due process. They didn't give him notice. I had to come in on an order to compel that. When they finally did, instead of giving him a hearing, they charged him and tried to get him dismissed. And we had that hearing. There was no evidence. The merit board.
Was that after he had resigned?
This constructive resignation. I believe
Well, however you describe it, he had resigned.
Under pressure and under.
Well, that's an economic pressure. Every decision you make as to what you should do has to do with economic pressure. And you take one job instead of another one because you want more money. You quit one job and get another one because you want more money.
Well, Judge, in the Sears case and the other cases I cite, that I think it's page 20, 21 of my brief, I talk about some of the cases that have been decided by this.
I know. I've read your brief.
Okay, then I won't repeat that. Great to see you again, sir. In any event, what I want to concentrate on, though, is this question of complete remedy. My client came to the federal court to try to get his job back, try to get his back pay back, to prove that he was put illegally on a zero pay status. He didn't have a hearing. He won two counts. And then the district court, as I quote here in one of the cases, and I think it was the one case, recent case about a party seeking not a declaration, which he did get that he was still employed, but money, that is perfectly valid to ask for back pay when you've been out of work for a couple of years, 4 years, and now six. Justice Posner, at page 14 of my brief, I quote him, "Justice delayed is justice denied. As the saying goes, at some point, delay must ripen into deprivation because otherwise a suit alleging deprivation would be forever premature." And he held, in quoted cases, with a six-month out-of-work situation, that those were sufficient to ripen into certainly an actionable substantive due process claim. But my client will never be made whole if he has to. First of all, the time has run for him to go to the merit board. He may have his, once this court decides, if it were to go against us, he may have some state remedies on his pendant claim, but he will never get back his damages, his fees for my efforts under 1988, which he should be entitled to almost.
Maybe you can get those discharged in bankruptcy.
Judge, I think I'd sympathize more even with my position if you were standing here.
No, wait, look, your time's up. You know, this is a very sympathetic case, but we have to look at it from the standards of what we have for us with the ADA and due process.
Can I have one last breath?
Well, make it quick.
There is a case that just, this Caldaway case, which this court decided, and I believe Judge Wood was on the panel.
Is this supplemental jurisdiction?
February 15, 2007, where this case came down just about the time my brief came in.
Did you?
But what the court determined in that case is not quite what I want. I want, obviously, reversal, remandment, and a trial on damages and fees. The court there said no jurisdiction because it's a partial summary judgment, didn't award all the relief and rule on all of the issues that were there, send it back and have the court decide it because it's not, the court in effect dismissed the appeal and told the district court it had to resolve these issues. So I think under either situation, we either have error or else we have a situation in either event where the case should go back to district court and my client should be able to be made whole. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks to both counsel. This case be taken under advisement.